My squiggles are squiggling. I got a cat in my lap.
Squiggles too are squiggling here. All right, hello, and welcome to Stasis Pod, the Rescue Bots Academy podcast. I'm Rob.
I'm Jen.
Cow goes moo. I'm David.
That's right. Today we are down on the farm with Rescues Academy, episode 5, Plan B.
Bees.
Sadly, that does not mean that Jerry Seinfeld is in this one.
It should be a B movie.
My God, the bees.
First aired January 12th, 2019, written by Peter A. Dowling. First Rescue Bots Academy episode, but has written for a bunch of British shows that I've never heard of.
Oh, wow. Like what?
Let's see. Black and Blue.
Ah, that's too fast.
Sacrifice. Reasonable Doubt. Although apparently he also wrote that Jodie Foster movie, Flight Plan.
Huh.
What?
Yeah.
These sound like shows my parents would know about. Also, as an aside, I think that I should rewatch the movie Hot Fuzz after spending some time with my parents again, and once again having to watch an unreasonable amount of Midsummer Murders in order to socialize with my family.
It's never a bad idea to rewatch Hot Fuzz.
Yeah.
I think when I went into it when it came out, I didn't have the proper context for it, so I enjoyed it, but not as much as I would, like, being heavily steeped in the British crime drama universe, like I am when I'm visiting my parents.
Also, it has details to reward further watches.
Ah.
Yarp.
And also, it's got a Transformers alumnus in it.
Oh, yeah.
And also, it's funny to watch Olivia Colman just cracking sex jokes now that she's like a super serious, internationally regarded actress. Nothing like a little bit of girl on girl, huh? Alright, so we open up and we are hanging out with Boulder. And we're doing some gardening because Boulder loves the earth.
Man, I want to hang out with Boulder. Just chill. Yeah.
You know who doesn't? Hotshot, because he thinks that nature is dumb.
I'm waiting for Hotshot to grow on me, but it has not yet happened.
And then Hoist doesn't love it either because he is frightened of bees.
Yes. I mean, I'm mildly allergic to bees, so I'm also a little scared of them.
Not really a problem for Hoist, though, who is a robot.
Yes. As Boulder points out.
Well, unless the bees crawl in his gears or something.
I don't think they have openings that large. I mean, bees are kind of big, especially if they're like carpenter bees or something.
Yeah. We're not talking like yellow jackets here, which I assume are hostile even to giant robots.
Yes. Oh my god.
So, you know, but Boulder says, you know, nature, you know, everything in nature is connected, so planting flowers is actually very important. Here, let me show you on the holiday.
It really occurs to me on a deep level of understanding that Cybertron may not have anything that would constitute an ecosystem.
I mean, sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't.
I mean, in the aligned universe.
This is true, yes. It's pretty much like a barren wasteland.
Yeah, everything's dead, so there's no ecosystem for these guys to have grown up with.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So we head off to the holodeck, and there's a farm that's about to be burned down by a forest fire.
I like the farm music that we get when they first materialize the farm in the holodeck.
Very, very pastoral.
Yes.
Tough Luck Chuck is the farmer, and he's got a bunch of animals that may or may not want to be rescued.
Yes. And the forest around is on fire, which feels a little on the nose. It's like the last episode, we had a snowstorm, which felt a little on the nose for us on the East Coast. And now it's on fire.
So stay tuned for next week when there is an avalanche of tigers in the Pacific Northwest.
Together, we'll give them the edge. Rescue Bots Academy.
Anyway, so they have to rescue Chuck from the bottom of a well. Hotshot has to impersonate chickens to rescue the chickens.
Yeah.
He learns from flapping his arms around that the chickens will attach themselves to him, that they will bond with him and understand his language. He's got to learn chicken language.
Listen, he wears a disguise to look like chicken guys. but he's not a bird. You're a robot, Hotshot.
He's Hotshot Boo.
Wedge is attacked by a bull. Medics and Hoist are stampeded by cows.
Yeah.
And so they you know, after a fashion, they get everybody to the safe zone.
That we did not, while there is a brief misunderstanding about why it's the milking shed, yes, when you wouldn't want to milk a shed, I am glad that we did not have to have an entire explanation with these children of what milking is.
Yeah, no, that...
I feel like that's outside the bounds of this show.
Yes.
They were, like, lampshading that. It's like, we're pointing it out, but we're not explaining it.
Kids, ask your parents.
Yes.
Oh, and there's an outhouse?
There is. Yes,
indeed.
Which I guess, yeah, farm would maybe have that, but still, it's weird.
Yeah, so...
Not one made in... Not one with a house built in the last, what? Like, 70 years.
You might have one for curiosity's sake.
I guess.
Although the past is always closer behind than we realize. My, yeah, my mother, when she was a girl, she'd have relatives come over who were just astonished by her family's indoor plumbing.
My mother did grow up with an outhouse, but that's because her father got it in his head that he wanted to be a farmer, and he was not exceptionally good at it. By the time I was born, they had installed indoor plumbing.
Okay.
I've just considered building an outhouse because I live in farm country.
Just for, like, you should just have a shed and just make it look like an outhouse. Just, yeah, put that little moon on the, yeah, door, but just keep, mm-hmm, your, like, lawnmower in there.
So anyway, they rescue Tough Luck Chuck and all his animals, and yet...
Tough Luck Chuck is at the bottom of the well! Why is he in the bottom, yes, of the well? What is he doing there?
That's where the tough luck comes from.
Chuck, why are you down there?
This feels like that Blade Runner question. Why is Tough Luck Chuck at the bottom of a well? Why aren't you helping him?
Are you asking if I'm a robot boulder or if I'm a lesbian? Anyway, they get all these guys rescued, and yet... bump, bump, ba, bump, bump.
Oh, they failed!
Failed, and they do it again, and they still fail.
They are very distressed. Also, again, this is all Hotshot's fault.
Yes. So they fast forward, and Boulder fast forwards the simulation. He sees that, you know, soon the, you know, all the plants on the farm die, so the farm just crumbles into ruin. So why don't you guys think about what you've done? Destroying this farm.
There is an important detail, which is when Hotshot is rounding up the chickens, the thing that makes him start flapping his arms that the chickens then respond to is bees.
That's right. And also, another clue, the title of the episode, Plan B.
Yes. Yes.
Also, yes, the title of the episode.
So eventually they figure out that, you know, this the end of the farm starts when all the flowers die. And the flowers die because they didn't rescue the bees.
Womp womp.
So they're able to lure these bees away from this this danger zone. And so finally, they win.
They've broken the time loop.
They win, right?
That's right.
Yay! Can't bees take care of themselves? I feel like bees can take care of themselves.
Generally, yes, but like... Since this simulation is just this farm.
Okay, fine. I guess the beehives, you probably want to make sure the queen is relocated to, yeah, a position, mm-hmm, so that the rest of the hive can...
Yeah, like, they didn't have to save all the bees, they just had to find the queen.
Yes, they just had to save out the hives.
A couple others.
So that the rest of the bees would, like, you know, evacuate to her position.
It's an enjoyable enough, but, you know, pretty slight episode, but that is most Rescue Bots episodes, considering they're for small children and they're 10 minutes apiece.
Yes.
Yeah, well, Rescue Bots Academy episodes, yes. But this yes. is... It's fine. It's very short. It's very slim. And it's a time loop.
Again, yes. like so many Rescue Bots Academy episodes, it's all Hotshot's fault.
Yeah.
Well, that brings us to next episode where it is not Hotshot's fault.
Pardon?
I give you The Bot Who Cried Rescue.
Yeah.
Which is a good title.
First aired January 19th, 2019, directed by Karen Morrison and Mick O'Hara. Also their first Rescue Bots episode. Apparently they've done a bunch of... They're like noted British puppeteers.
Wow. What? Okay.
I thought Mick O'Hara was Spider-Man 2099.
Apparently they did write for that new Danger Mouse.
There's a new okay. Danger Mouse? What?
Yeah.
You've caught his attention.
I'm just confused.
I mean, there's new everything old.
Well, I mean, new in the sense that it came out in 2015.
But still, it's like, it came out after the year 2000. That's shocking.
Yes.
People remember Danger Mouse.
Yeah.
Space chickens in space? Oh, they have pictures of their puppet selves on the wiki. That's nice.
Aw, that's cute.
Good choice.
Mm-hmm. So, we start out, we're, you know, everybody's just hanging around the training, hanging around the academy, and indeed Hotshot interrupts Wedge, making him, break this microchip that he's working on, because, again, it's always Hotshot's fault.
Yeah. Hmm.
And then suddenly, there's a rescue drill alarm, so they've gotta get in these launch tubes and get outside. And then they have to rescue Tough Hotshot.
I don't know what's going on. Have we seen these launch tubes prior to this?
We have not seen these tubes.
What is with this tube system?
Hmm.
It seems weirdly long and, I don't know, I'm scared. I don't trust it.
I do feel this should be like, isn't like some sort of like cartoon intro where people go through tubes. Like it's the sequence they repeat every week. Kind of like what they did with the Filmation Ghostbusters or whatever.
Yeah, it's very Futurama or Jetsons.
Hmm.
But this isn't the opening credits. It's just a thing that's in their base.
Yes. Hmm. So they have to save Tough Luck Chuck. And then, you know, Pete Wave says, okay, you've got to be faster next time. And he talks to Wedge. And he's like, okay, Wedge, you're always the fastest at getting out here. So... You know, you are going to have to be... I'm going to give you the rescue alarm trigger. So you're going to be in charge of running these drills.
Oh, no.
It's a mistake. Don't do it.
It is a mistake because he says, you know, don't use it too much or everyone will go insane and hate you.
Yes.
Yeah.
And surprise, that is basically what happens.
Immediately, yes, he starts doing it too much.
Very mm-hmm. promptly, Wedge becomes the worst.
Yes. And so one day he does it, and then unfortunately, while that is happening, Hoist is fixing the launch tubes.
Well, Hoist is trying to fix the launch tubes, and every time Wedge sets off the alarm, he has to put it down and stop what he's doing. And so, specifically because Wedge keeps interrupting Hoist's work, is why he gets in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and, yeah, I think he even breaks what he's working on.
Hoisted by his own petard.
Yes.
Also, because they're using the tube so much, the wear and tear wears on it even faster.
Yes.
So his own emergency testing is destroying it.
So, and then he's just madder and madder at them because they keep getting slower and slower. Because the tubes aren't working.
Well, he said...
And because...
I think he says that, but they're actually getting faster. Like, I think he goes to... Yeah, doesn't he go to Chase and say that?
And they're tired, and they're sick of it. They're sick of dealing with it. They're sick of him, and they're just... They're done. There's no more.
And then... It does indeed become hoisted by his own petard because he has another drill and he just gets stuck in this tube.
Yeah, which, like, the length of these tubes is very confusing.
Yeah, it's kind of like the they go from into they like go into the tube dimension.
Yeah, it's like when he's falling down, and it feels like it's hundreds of thousands of feet long.
I realize
the trip through the tube doesn't seem to take that long, really. But
I realize that this is a facility where they have a ground bridge, so they do have access to impressive advanced technology. But like, I don't know why it couldn't just be a slide.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is like what's outside of the TARDIS when you see it in the opening credits.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like he's going to take a wrong turn in this tube and end up in the Victorian era.
Oops.
Yeah, and yet, like, he falls down, like, hundreds of feet when he gets stuck. Mm-hmm. But somehow, all the other bots can form a human or bot chain to reach down and get him. Which is confusing.
It's the space between spaces.
Yeah. And somehow, like, it rips a hole into the refrigerator dimension.
Yes. So now his arm is frozen. So he's gonna die here.
Because apparently whatever technology these things use has some kind of coolant?
Yes.
Yeah, they have to be super cooled. Sure. What?
Which is not something that one normally needs for just, like, a slide.
Maybe it's for the friction. They're going so fast down these tubes that their butts would catch on fire.
Maybe. I mean,
or maybe they're powered by cold fusion or cold magnet reactor.
Wedge does seem to be floating in it, so it does seem to have some sort of gravitational negation going on.
Why am I floating here in a tube like this?
Yeah. It seems...
Wedge, how can this be?
But then he drops the remote down the tube, because he rips a hole in the side. It's very strange.
So they are able to rescue Wedge from this tube and then respond to another alarm.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but since they were already in the tube, they get through the alarm much faster.
Well, they have to go into Hoist's tube.
Yeah.
And so Wedge has to admit that, yeah, it was me controlling these alarms, and also I totally beefed it. And now all the tubes are broken.
Yeah... Good job.
We'll have to use the stairs.
Yep. And also now go fix those tubes.
Womp womp.
And that is where it ends.
So,
yeah, that's like...
Good job, Wedge. Now you are the worst.
That's right. Now it's your fault.
This episode is just about how Wedge is the worst. Like, at least the previous episode was about how bees are important, but this episode is just about how Wedge is the worst. I mean, I guess it's about how, like, if you keep setting off the alarm, people will start getting mad at you, but it's also just about how Wedge is the worst.
As the title goes, it's the boy who cried wolf thing, but, like, I have the shortest notes for anything we've ever done. Even some Cyberverse episodes I hated. 5 words.
Yeah.
Wedge is the worst, comma, tubes. That's the entire episode. Like, not that it's bad, it's just that it's so simple to the point.
At least Whirl is great.
Yes.
Yeah, and the repeated systems of we gotta do it again. Like, this episode kind of works better than Plan B for me. But Plan B had a little bit more stuff going on.
I liked all the farm animals. I think there should have been some cute little pigs and maybe some sheep. Goats. Yeah. It needed goats. The farm needed goats. I like goats.
All right, so that does it for us for this week. We'll be back next week with more Rescue Bots Academy action. Until then, you can find us all over the internet. We are on Twitter, we're on Facebook, we are on Mastodon, and we are on Blue Sky, and we have a Patreon.
Yes, we are hosted at iaconunderground.net, where we have a Patreon set up to help with hosting and other expenses at patreon.com/iaconunderground. And every month for our Patreon listeners, we do a special episode that is just something fun that maybe ties into something that is a big deal that just came out. Sometimes it is the thing that is a big deal that just came out a few months ago and now it's on streaming, which we started during COVID because we didn't want to, you know, people to have to go to the theater.
Because we didn't.
Yeah, we didn't want to have to go. I am pretty sure that when I finally got COVID, it was at Deadpool and Wolverine. So
yeah, mine might have been movie theater related too.
Yeah, not encouraging people to go to the theaters. Sometimes it is an exciting holiday special, like our December visit to the Smurf Village, where we got to introduce Rob to what a Smurf is. They are three apples high. This is established. This is an extremely important established metric for measuring Smurfs.
We got to teach him about the December to dismember Smurfs.
Also, I'm pretty sure that guy is Keldor from He-Man.
Yes.
So yeah, we did that Christmas episode for January. We have not recorded yet, but we are thinking it may be time for us to do a proper episode on Transformers 1.
We do need to do it, and might as well be January.
Now that is readily available. It is what I bought 4K home viewing devices for. It is, I mean, I had it for like, I've had the 4K TV for like 2 years, but really, it's beautiful. It looks so good. So good. So yeah, we are going to talk about that. We will see how much time I spend just going gay. but yeah, that's, I am personally, I need to get some of the Cogless YOLO Park figures.
Yeah.
Cause I think that's one of the best times when you can get a non-transforming toy of a character is when they literally don't transform. Also, I'm in the process of working in my head on a thesis about how it's about how, like, the younger generation has been deprived and infantilized in order to produce for the older generation. This absolutely definitely has nothing to do with my recent dabbling in the housing market. But anyway, apart from like Marxist screeds about the whole labor situation on Cybertron, yeah, for as little as $1 a month, you can listen to our monthly specials. They're a lot of fun. We usually go on for quite some time, occasionally for longer than the runtime of the movie we're discussing. So that is at patreon.com/iconunderground.
Once we went so long, we had to split it into two episodes.
We did that for the original Transformers, the movie. Yeah, that was one where we had a lot of like background information. Like I was talking about
also because
seeing Vince DiCola at BotCon and
yes, the entire gimmick of that one also was we discussed Transformers, the movie, the original animated one,
yes,
without having watched it recently.
Yes.
Some of us for years.
Yep.
And it took us 3 hours.
I need to rewatch that. I have that on 4K. I actually bought the 4K Steelbook version of that before I had a 4K media player.
I have four versions of that
just so I would have it. I recently reacquired the FHE VHS copy, which I think I told the story of. I got that at TFCon. I'm going to babble a little because we have run really short this week.
Yes. Well, you don't have to go long. This should just be our shortest episode ever. Well, it definitely already is.
At TFCon Baltimore. Did I tell this on the episode already? I don't think I did. On an episode about Rick Alvarez's table, I was with a couple friends, and the VHS market is ridiculous these days. The VHS collector market is absolutely unhinged. So when I went to Rick Alvarez's table and I pointed to the VHS copy of Transformers the movie that was sitting back behind his table and asked how much it was, and now he, to his credit, thought I was asking about something else. So when he said $250, I just went, okay. And my two friends I was with were like, what? But I am so used to the VHS collector market being completely off its rocker that I was like, yeah, I could see someone trying to get that for that. But then he corrected himself and realized what I was actually asking about, and it was $25, and still a lot for VHS, but it was the exact copy that I had in high school. which the sleeve to got lost when I loaned it to somebody, and then eventually I just, like, tossed it with a bunch of other VHS stuff when, you know, in when I moved in 2017. So I repurchased that. So I have it on VHS. I'm pretty sure I still have the 20th anniversary DVD. I'm going to have to check on that because I think I discovered that it had some extras that I wanted to make sure that I had. And yeah, I have the 4K steelbook version, which is beautiful. It looks so good. That was, well, I got the 4K TV. That was the first thing that I watched. Yes, those our Patreon episodes are really fun, occasionally insightful when we do Marvel stuff and Rob gets to pull out his vast Marvel knowledge for us.
I just had a thought. It's like, oh, what would be like the weirdest format to get Transformers the movie on?
Laserdisc.
And I looked it up, and it... No. UMD.
Oh, it... I think
it exists.
I think it only apparently came out in the UK. And I need to get that, but I think when I get it, I'm because the PSP that I have is the 3000, and it's a Japanese one. So the games are not region locked, but the movies are region locked. So at some point, I'm going to need, I want to get a US PSP 1000 just because the... honestly, half of my appeal for portable gaming is just the gadget of them, and the 1000 has a more satisfying disk drive mechanism. So I need to get that, and then I'm gonna definitely get that and short circuit. But yes, it does exist on UMD, but I'm pretty sure it was a UK exclusive.
Yeah, I mean, LaserDisc would make more sense
because Sony, because Sony does the distribution for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, there's the Laserdisc one, too.
Apparently you can get it for £18 on Amazon UK.
Yeah, it's not, like, crazy expensive, but you do have to have...
Which is neat.
I need to look into...
One that'll play 4 months, yeah.
I need to look into hacking my 3000 to run custom firmware that gets around that...
It's a really neat cover, too.
...that lock. Well, I think it's just the UK poster. I'll have to look that up. Link it to me.
Which is kind of neat. I don't remember seeing the UK. I just did.
Oh, okay. I'll actually click over to our Discord that we use for coordinating these things. And, is it slight? And...
One left in stock.
Wow. I think that may actually be a Japanese cover. I mean, it's clearly a British release.
Yeah.
But I think that's a cover that was for a Japanese release.
Well, it's the only cover I was seeing in a quick glance. Yeah. I'm trying to figure out, it's like, how much is it on eBay? And, like, it's just long sold out.
It is not what I think of as the UK movie poster. So, there's that. Yeah, I should get that at some point. UMD, that's the best format. I feel sorry for the game shop in the town that I just moved away from, because apparently I was one of two people with any interest in their PSP stuff, and the other person had sold them most of it.
How much does a PSP cost these days?
Like 100. So the thing is, if you go on eBay, you will get the impression that the entire island of Japan is actually situated entirely on a stock of Japanese refurbished 3000 models, because there are so many of them available.
Okay.
eBay is flooded with Japanese PSP 3000 models. Which is nice. Like I said, the disc mechanism is not quite as satisfying, but the screen is better. But they do not play UMDs because, again, the games are not region locked, but the movies are. So yes.
If I get a Japanese one, I could get Japanese UMDs, which
you could get
would
Japanese
weird,
movies.
But there's probably some crazy stuff I could get.
So for like $80 to $100, you can pick up a refurbished Japanese 3000. Anyway, I feel like that was enough of a tangent.
Yeah, it's been enough. It's 10 minutes of bonus material.
Yes.
All right. So until next time, when we return to the Rescue Bonds Academy and put the spotlight on Hoist, I'm Rob.
I'm Jen, and I am looking forward to learning more about Hoist as a person.
And I'm David. I'm going to go play more Marvel Rivals as a crazy little raccoon.
Have fun.
I will. I'll be here.